Hey everybody, I'm in Rome actually, for Audiences Europe, Rome, and we've just sat through two different presentations this morning. One about how a museum is bringing different people into the museum who have various different conditions and how they handled that. And the second one was how libraries have changed, 38 libraries across Rome, and how they're dealing with sort of immigration and migrants. And now we're going to capture a few little bits of takeaways from people now they've had lunch and just ask them a few little questions, and we'll get back to you. A little bit breezy here. Hello, madam. What is your name?
My name is Cristina da Milano. Nice
Hello.
To meet you.
Hello, Cristina. What do you do here?
I am here because my organization, which is called...
It's going to slam.
Yes. Ooh. Can you cut it?
Wow, that was a bang and a half. Yeah, that wasn't somebody smiting us from above. That was the door shutting.
Yes.
Your organization is?
EPCOM, and we are partner of Open All Areas, which is the project we are all involved in.
Right.
And it was our turn to organize a seminar, a learning seminar for our partners in Rome. So that's why I'm here.
Right. So we've just had two really good presentations and talks. The first one about how museums are adapting with different kinds of clientele. What are your two sort of takeaways? I know you're involved with one of those, but what are your sort of takeaways from what's actually changing in Italy now? You know, the public spaces opening up, museums rethinking their strategies in terms of their clientele. Mm. How does that make you feel? What's the big takeaway that other people in other countries should be thinking about?
I think what's really changing in Italy is this idea of social responsibility of cultural institutions, which is finally getting into the mainstream. Because, of course, I mean, it is written in all the official documents, but it's very rarely translated into real activities.
Right.
Because visitors are usually the...
It's a dense thing.
Yeah, and then we have visitors who belong to a very traditional background. They are the so-called usual suspects.
Right.
So we don't have visitors from diverse backgrounds, from diverse age groups. Our visitors are quite traditional in terms of museums, theaters, cultural institutions in general. But I think when we talk about the social responsibility of cultural institutions, this is exactly the point. They should talk to everybody and give everybody at least the chance of, you know, enjoying culture.
Everybody's eating away, so I've managed to sit down with Cynthia. Hello.
Hello.
Where have you travelled from today?
From Rotterdam.
From Rotterdam. How was your trip?
Well, it was a bit longer than I expected.
Really?
Yes.
Should we not go into that?
Well, no. We had afterwards a marvellous dinner last night.
Really?
In the vicinity of our hotel.
That's always good. That can always sort of repair everything. So we've been through two presentations this morning. Various things in terms of audience development, different clientele that a museum would have, and how people are working with migrants and immigration. What two takeaway things did you pick up from those presentations that maybe you took back for your own projects?
Well, I work with Rotterdam Festival, so not specifically taking it back immediately for my own work environment, but for the institutions we also represent in Holland, in Rotterdam. And of course the story from the library I'm going to take back to my colleagues from the library. I invited them over, but they're in the middle of a reorganization. And I think this information is really interesting to talk about, because in Holland everything is about books going down, people using e-readers and stuff.
Right.
And the function and the role of the library in our city. But I think also in Rotterdam and maybe in the other big cities as well, we still have a very large community of immigrants and of... there's still a lot to do with integration. And I think we should not forget also this, because I think it can exist...
On
the same side. So that is what I want to take home to present to them. And from the Alzheimer Project... more in general, in Holland, the focus is less on social values of art and things. And so I think it's more a nice example in a discussion about presenting the arts and the culture to the outside world, not just as culture and nice and fun or beauty, or but it has different it has impact and it has a meaning and social functions and also economic benefits.
Right.
And so we want to have that discussion really on a higher level, and these are very good examples to use for in a discussion.
I've come inside now because outside was slamming doors and really windy and people are eating their lunch. I'm now with your name.
I'm Els.
And your name?
I'm Yao.
And you've travelled from where today? Where did you travel from today?
We are coming from Brussels.
Okay. So you've watched two presentations. First one, Alzheimer's, people with mental health issues, different audience for museums. The second one was about how libraries are changing in terms of refugees and immigration. What things did you learn that you will take back with you to tell colleagues and...
First of all, I thought it was really interesting, two of the examples. And what I take with me back to Brussels, it's the importance also of research. And that's something that, for example, in our association, it's something that we never do. There's no money for, no... but I think it's really interesting to think about it and also to start doing research about the effects that the art projects that they have on the public that we are working with.
Right. And great. And I think that's absolutely what it needs, is more research. Mm-hmm. And I think they showed that they did it with minimal money as well, which I think is interesting. Yeah. What are your takeaways?
I think a lot of things. The first presentation about Alzheimer's, it's, I think I feel, you know, in Europe, how they are taking care of old people. In Africa, it's not the same thing. And find a way between the museum and those kind of people to make them, I think, second life, or I don't know, more than second life of... to give them attention. I think that's so really proud. And I can say chapeau for their work, really. And for the second intervention about immigration of soul, I think I just recognize myself in this story. And voilà. So I think as a long problem of immigration, a problem is very the same in everywhere, yeah. So I wish that, and I just ask Ali, people to know that it's not easy to start from crash, like that woman just said.
No, it's difficult. It takes a lot of bravery.
Yeah.
So I have another set of women with me now. Just go from round, from left to right. Your name?
Giorgia Del Monte.
Leila.
Federica.
Oh, I love the way you all say those names. It's awesome. So you did an amazing presentation about how your library is dealing with migrants, and you, something quite that I'm realising other places are not doing, having books for people from the countries that they've come from, and proactively pushing these Italian lessons, which is really awesome that they can go and learn lessons. What are the biggest challenges that you have now you've got this far into the project? What's next? How do you go bigger? More people? Anybody can answer. Is money a problem?
Yes. Money?
Is money a huge problem?
Yeah.
Resources, yes. In terms of people?
We work, she said before, we work with volunteers because we don't have any help for this project. So... I think we will continue to work like now.
It's quite hard to widen the project more than it is already, because of course volunteering teachers are very good. Some of them are with us, have been with us for many years, so they know how things work, but there is a huge work of coordination
huge.
That it's on our time. Yes. So
has that been a strain on your job, having to make sure the volunteers are reliable, you know, in terms of them turning up to train people? Do they leave or?
Georgia is the one that can answer more precisely because she's the one in
charge.
Some
leave, but most stay because they like to work, and most of them are pratics to be teacher. So we give them the opportunity to work and to practice to be teacher, and we have an exchange with them. So they would like to have money, but we
don't have that resource.
Yes.
But I think one of the things that you do instead of money is you do the celebration of where they've got to with the parties. You do these parties things.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit, because that must be quite, you know, you must think, we've achieved something when you have these parties, because you have all these people really happy. They've come from there to there. Whose idea was that? Was that just something that you came together on? The parties, who decided to have an end party? You know the language. Say you have somebody from Hindi, and you have a number of people. Then you have a party at the end to celebrate. What do you celebrate at these parties?
Mainly the since most of the courses are multicultural. Apart from the one with the Chinese community, so they are not oriented towards a culture or another, but we focus on their stories. So many times they tell their stories.
Okay.
Each of them.
So they present to the audience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And talking about stories, quickly, and last question. You've been travelling around to different Audience Europe places. What have been the biggest wow kind of moments in all of those places you've been? Coming back to Rome, like, we could never do that here. Or, like, we could do that, but I'm not sure. Which places have you been? Where have you been?
I've been to Copenhagen.
Okay.
Yes.
So, in Copenhagen, what was the biggest thing there? What was the biggest difference there? In audience development?
I've been in Barcelona, and I don't remember the name of the cases,
sure.
Of course, but in general, I think the most important difference between the work in Barcelona and in Italy is the collaboration between association and institution that is not present in Italy. It's very difficult.
Okay.
There is not communication between...
There's no bridge.
No.
Between the two, and that's something that needs to really, really happen.
This is what we have to...
Everybody's nodding, by the way. Can't pick nods up in audio. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. I'm now joined by a gentleman. Your name is Robert.
Robert Martin,
Where did you travel from today, Robert?
Yesterday we travelled from Northern Ireland, yeah.
All right. How was your trip?
It was great, yeah.
Was it?
Good.
Presentation-wise today, what was your biggest takeaway from the two presentations you watched? The first one... obviously being about museums and how they're sort of dealing with different kinds of people who have mental health issues. Was there anything in that you sort of took away from that you think you can apply back home or for some of the projects you're involved with?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm working, I've got a gallery in Northern Ireland, and I've been working with people with learning difficulties anyway, so this is particularly significant in that we've got AGNI with us over from Northern Ireland, so we're talking about linking up and doing a possible project together. So yeah, this is really relevant with the Alzheimer's. My partner director works with people with Alzheimer's, so this is perfect for me to be here.
It slots right in, easy. So the second thing I'm going to ask you today, quickly, and then you can get back to, there's coffee going around, so everybody's drinking coffee as well. Second thing was about public spaces here in Rome. I thought it was really interesting, the sheer amount of books that they've got for migrant migrants coming into Italy. Do you think that's a way to go with public libraries in Ireland? I know in the UK we definitely need more social spaces. What did you take away from that presentation?
I can't really comment on libraries in Northern Ireland because I don't have very little contact with them, so sorry about that. But certainly my experience of libraries in England, I guess a lot of them are disappearing, you know, and I think libraries have to look at what they're presenting, how they're presenting it, how they can get people to use libraries more. And I think there are perhaps some ideas, like in Winchester, there's a place called, the Discovery Centre, which is kind of library, art gallery, kind of a combination of things, and cafe, you know, I think.
Like a hybrid.
Yeah, like a hybrid
it's
library.
It's an interactive thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, perhaps I haven't seen that in Northern Ireland yet. I haven't been everywhere, but yeah. I think that's possibly what they're trying to do with this example. You know, it's trying to get more people using the library.
Yeah. That's it. Thanks, Robert.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Cheers.
So finally, just to finish off, because we're going back into the second session in the afternoon, I'm with CJ. CJ, big takeaway for you, two good presentations, like anything in those that you thought?
Amazing presentation. I think for the Alzheimer's one, making Alzheimer's organisations and mental health organisations aware that galleries are doing these projects and that they could maybe have a best practice model to go to their local gallery and say, please do one of these for us. And I think for the second one, which
libraries.
Was the immigration and the libraries,
yeah.
I think to look at the internet access and using the screensavers or some pop-ups to actually communicate with the people who are using the venues and get them involved into any...
Grabbing their stories as yeah. And also courses, language courses, yeah. That seems to be a good pull.
Yeah, and I think... unbiased spaces, I think, was a great way that I think he explained in his language, but then was interpreted by Christina. I think unbiased spaces of libraries is a brilliant thing.